And so we're back from outer space. Just to see the look upon your face.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But what's been happening, man?
Besides recovering from your brother's wedding, not too much.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. I was very hungover the next day.
I would not expect anything less.
Yeah, but I'm crushed my fucking speech, dude.
It was good. It was a good speech.
You know it's good when everyone comes up to you and they go, "You use ChatGPT." And I'm like, "Yeah, ChatGPT knew all the stories that I put in there. Okay, sure."
But yeah, other than that, just watching football. It was actually not a bad time with your brother's wedding. Went from brother's wedding straight into the Chelsea game.
Yeah, I watched that game. I'm so happy I decided I'll watch the Liverpool game the next day.
Yeah, you made the right choice there. Yeah, I stayed up for it.
Yeah, that would have been
I had a good time.
You know, yeah, I bet you had a good time.
I did have a good time. Thank you,
Matt. I'm having no good times. Fucking asshole, man. Really hope. All we have to do is win tomorrow, all right?
You know, that's all
we have to do. Otherwise, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
This podcast might not come out. I might kill myself. I don't know.
I don't want to be part of this anymore. Yeah. I don't want to be an accomplice to this.
Yeah, everybody, if it doesn't come out, T has murdered me. Also, no one will hear this because it won't even come out. But we do have a bunch of news this week. Not as much as we had last week, but
some good stories.
We got some good shit.
Yeah.
We got some good shit going down. Because it's like almost a double-edged sword with a few kind of... we always end up in Spain with this news. Have you noticed that?
Spain's great for news. Yeah. They love it.
Oh, they're so involved. They're so dramatic.
They are very dramatic, yeah.
But you know, before we jump into Spain, France, they've appointed a new manager.
Yep.
To take over...
Champs. What a manager to get.
Well, they're going from probably one of the greatest international managers of all time.
Not only that, French legend. He was a French legend.
Yep. Did he win the...
He won the Euro.
He didn't win the World Cup, though. He wasn't in that.
Oh, no, actually, I think he did win I think it was the back end of his career. No, he did. He won both.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he won as a player. He's won the World Cup as a manager. And now Zinedine Zidane is going to be taking over after him, after this next World Cup. He's going to be taking over in the French national league, which, to be fair, everyone knew he was at some point going to take this team.
Yeah, yeah. I think from his days when he was at Real Madrid, at some stage everybody knew he was going to be the French manager. And I think it's a good time now because Didier Deschamps has been there for, I think he was there in the 2014 World Cup. So it'd be like 12 years he's been there now.
Yeah, but as well, he's made two World Cup finals, 1-1.
Two World Cup finals. Arguably should have won both if it wasn't for Martinez. In extra time. Look, France have never really been super competitive in the Euros except for 2000 when they won. But he's always kept them competitive. They've won the Nations League as well, I think.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah,
so
look, for him to win two trophies as an international manager is amazing.
Well, considering most international managers win zero.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And
like, there you go. You made it to a final. You're probably one of the greatest managers we've ever had.
Yeah. And I think his legacy will be the fact that he was able to draw from such a massive pool of talent over the years. I think at one stage we're looking at, they could have put out four teams.
Yeah, they had three teams where you're like, I think any one of those three teams could win.
Exactly.
And then they had a fourth team where it's like, they'd be pretty hard to beat.
Yeah.
For anyone that's in the top five would struggle to beat them. You know
Correct.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe Germany, right, at the time might have been able to beat that fourth team easily, but that was about it.
Yeah. It was, I think what he's done with the French football system is going to be his legacy.
100%.
And what he's done with the amount of play, like when you think of like who he had when he had like Kante and Pogba, and then he had Mbappe come through, and Giroud was still playing with him, and then you look at all the defenders that they've had, and you look at them now, they've still got gun players coming through.
Yes, dude. Well, they have last year's Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah, they did.
They've got Mbappe
still kicking. Yeah, and then you look at, I think Saliba's French as well.
Saliba is French, that's correct.
Yeah, Koundé, he's French too. And you're still looking at all these...
He's kind of shit this year, but he's French.
He's French, yeah. But if we go through the French players that are eligible for this team, it's spastic.
Yeah, it's actually one of those ones where it's just like, all right, we're hosting an open trial, and then just everyone turns up. You're like, damn, these guys are all ballers.
Yeah.
Can we take them all? No.
Yeah, I can only take 23 of you, but we've got 50 of them here. We'll just make a French 2.0.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I mean, they've got to be one of the top favourites to win the World Cup.
I think as long as Mbappe's there, they will always be one of the favourites for the World Cup.
Yeah, look, man, you got to distract him with a bunch of trannies or something.
Jesus, man.
He likes them, bro. What do you want me to do? He came out publicly. I don't know.
Look, I'm just looking at their team that they put out, right? And this was a second-rate team. So they had Gusto played, Konate played, both Hernandez brothers played, right? You forgot about them. Then you got Termin Ulian, who plays for Juve, who's mad. Zaire Emery.
Yeah.
What about him? Well, and you got Doué as well.
Well, he's injured, but
he's
injured,
but he's another one.
He'll probably miss the World Cup too, burning.
Spewing. And Nkuku made it at Ekitike. And then up top was Mateta.
I wonder if they'll take Ekitike to the World Cup.
I think so. Well, I think he'd be good off the bench.
He's good off the bench.
Yeah. Then if you look at like their bench, they had Torvin, Cherki, Barcola. They had Mike Maignan, the AC Milan keeper, Upamecano, Koundé, Digne, Saliba, Kante, and Olise.
Olise.
Then you had Mbappe and Camavinga. And then you got Tchouaméni as well. Right.
Yeah. It's retarded. It's
stacked, bro.
It's retarded.
It's
dude.
Stacked. And some of those players that I named weren't even on this fucking team.
And a lot of those players now have actually been playing together. For a number of years. They're not just debutants into the team. You go in there with a stacked bunch of juniors.
Yeah.
You're going in there with some like
the very camaraderie together.
Well, yeah, and they've all won stuff now too.
Yeah, 100%.
So they all understand the big pressure games.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, I don't understand how you beat them. And they've got a manager that's brought them up through all of these. What, this would be his fourth
World Cup?
World Cup or third?
Fourth. Because if he made it, I think he was in the 14 World Cup. 14, 18, where they won, 22, which they came second, and then this one. So that's four.
Four.
So if it was 2014, I'm pretty sure. I can have a quick look right now. He joined the French team, bro, 2012, after the Euro.
Oh, yes.
They bowed out in the Euro, and he became the manager after. So, yeah, four World Cups.
Four World Cups. This will be his last one.
Yep.
Everyone's going to be playing double hard. I mean,
and then
if you're putting money somewhere, putting France to win the entire thing is...
Well, later in the year, after the Premier League's done, we'll be going through the World Cup.
Well, it all depends who stays healthy for the World Cup.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
Because like, if you start seeing Mbappe injured, Saliba injured, and they don't make that team, they'll start to be dead. Well, because Germany's going to be strong too, but...
Well, I think we said the same thing about France last World Cup. They had a bunch of players injured, and they still made a final. I remember Kante was injured, Pogba was injured. There was, I think, some of the centre backs were injured too, but they still made a World Cup final with this second string team.
Yeah, of course. I mean, their version of second string is like everyone's dream of a first string. Right?
Exactly right.
Like
yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah,
you know. But unless they come up against Australia, I'm gonna fuck them up.
And then after that, Zinedine Zidane comes in. He's like, and Mbappe has said he is my favourite. French player of all time.
Yeah, well, what? Zinedine Zidane became a manager at Real Madrid, and what did he win? He won back to back.
He did the hat trick.
He did the three-peat on the Champions League.
He also
won the first 3 years as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So it arguably you'd be like, well, I'd tip him to win the Euro.
Yeah.
Into the World Cup.
Yeah.
Subject to what his team. He
also won a couple Super Cups. I think he won and he also won the league. Then he retired, came back, and I think he won the league again.
Yeah, so, but didn't win the Champions League.
Yeah, so you're just like it's going to be mad. It's going to be super, like for the French team, it'll be sick.
Yeah, bring on 2026, I say. Fuck 2025. Well, while we're on the World Cup kind of discussion, Russia.
Yes. Right?
It's a name you wouldn't think you'd hear when it comes to the World Cup.
Well, technically, we can't.
Because they're not in it.
Because they're banned.
Yeah. Oh, are they banned?
Because of the war, they're banned.
Because they're not allowed to field a team where it doesn't actually say Russia, where it has to be like independent country of, like the Olympics. Does.
Yeah. No. This is, they're not allowed.
I suppose it isn't an individual thing, so you would have to, yeah.
So they're not allowed to, like, they're not even in qualifiers. No Russian players are in any Euros or World Cup.
Yeah.
But not that good what are they doing?
Yeah. Well, they're proposing to have their own alternate World Cup during the same time as the 2026 World Cup. So they're apparently going to invite 8 to 12 teams. And they've got kind of a list of teams that are potential that could be in it. So China, that's their friend.
Yeah, they're good friends, yeah.
Cameroon, Nigeria, Serbia, Chile, Greece, Peru, and Venezuela. They're all the kind of tipped to be in there. Now, it's just an idea. Right, there's no official proposal that's been confirmed, but it's an idea that Russia may run it. I have so many questions about it because I'm like, where do you play? What are they going to play? They play in Russia, and it's just like, oh, actually, we're going to have to delay the game a bit. The Ukraine's bombing us in this section? Like, what are we talking about?
Well,
halfway through the game, they run onto the pitch, take four of the players, and be like, you've been selected for the army. Off you go.
Well, you can see from the teams that they've picked, obviously, those teams that you've said have all been eliminated from this World Cup. So, personally, it won't happen. I don't think it'll happen.
The
reason why is because all those players are under FIFA. FIFA has banned Russia, which means you would have to leave FIFA to go play with them. It's a grand idea.
FIFA will come out and just be like, if anyone goes to play, they will not be eligible to play for any other FIFA.
You won't be able to play. Yeah, you won't be able to play for your club or your country.
Also, their clubs won't allow them. There's no way the clubs, because the clubs have to allow them to go play the World Cup.
Yeah.
There's no way the clubs are going to go, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go play this. Let's go make up this random second division World Cup.
The period of time we could have let you off so that you could have mended some of these half injuries that you have.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Go play a nothing tournament in a war torn country.
Yeah.
That's logical.
Which is run by a dictator.
Yeah.
Let's do that. That sounds like that'll go down well.
He was elected.
Okay.
At some point.
Sure, he was at some without any guns pointed at anybody. But I like the teams that they put out there. It's like, you know, Venezuela, super communist. China, super communist. Russia, super communist. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, just get the communist games going. Let's do that.
Ooh.
Yeah, bro. Let's get the communist games. Get the sickles
out, baby.
Yeah, fuck yeah. You won't get any white supremacists coming out for that.
Just everyone's bald and white. They're like, this is a great tournament. I love everything about this. You know what I love the most? It's like, don't say it.
Yeah, shut up. Shut up.
Don't say it. The cameras are on. Wait till they're off. Ding, ding. There's ninjas everywhere. But, you know, that was a good little segue into Spain.
Was that a segue into Spain?
Nope, but I made it. So, Lamine Yamal is in the press a lot lately, right? And it seems to be all for the same thing. He's loving a bit of a party in Barcelona at the moment. I think he thinks he's Ronaldinho, to be honest.
No, worse. He thinks he's Neymar.
Yeah.
I saw... I'll finish the story, but I'll tell you what I saw later.
So he's gone and held a party called Luz de Gas. I don't know what it means, but it was held in a Barcelona nightclub.
Yeah.
So there was no phones allowed at the party at all, so... All phones were taken away or put away or whatever they were.
Yep.
And he was obviously in a VIP section, partying with all of his boys, maybe. I don't know if he has friends.
Maybe. His midget friends, yeah.
In the VIP area. However, the only people that were allowed in the VIP area were girls. Which...
I mean, to be fair...
Sounds like a good time to me.
When we've had VIP areas... We don't let dudes in, besides the boys.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, I get that.
I understand that. But, I mean, for a guy that's supposed to be, you know, tipped to win Ballon d'Or and he's Young Player of the Year, he seems to be doing the wrong shit.
Bro, there's been massive controversy with him this year. He has been such a little fuckwit all year.
Dude.
Ever since he was, nominated for Ballon d'Or.
Oh, man. He thinks he's a lot bigger than what he is because of obviously the media hype.
And I think his PR team is really hyping him up too.
Well, and I think the other point of it is, right, and we'll get more into the Champions League next week after all the games are finished, but there's one that kind of just makes sense to talk about now is obviously the lead up to the Chelsea game.
Mm-hmm.
So they beat Atletico.
Atletico Bilbao. Atletico Bilbao. Bro, they're like fucking 16th at the moment.
So they beat them, what, 3-0?
They beat them 4-0 even after Atletico got a red card too.
Yeah. And then they came out and they said, how are you feeling about the Chelsea game coming up? And he comes out and goes, we've just played our big game.
Yeah.
Already.
The guy goes, you got a big game on Tuesday. How do you feel about the Chelsea game? And he's like, we just played our big game. Tuesday's just another game. What the fuck? Are you insane?
Yeah, I don't know if he believes
you, little shit.
Yeah. And then when we get into it next week, it ended pretty poorly for him, didn't it?
But I can't wait for next week. Yeah. Look, next week is going to be a bit, depending on how Chelsea play against Arsenal, will be 50-50 for me. But at the moment, I'm on a fucking high, and I can't wait to talk about that little shit. But... there was one thing that I did see about Lamine Yamal today, which was pretty funny. So I was like, that they had a video of him partying with Neymar.
That's
Well, they're at a pool and they're having a good time or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the caption was positive. Lamine Yamal's idol is Neymar. Negative. Lamine Yamal's idol is Neymar. And you're going,
yeah.
It's like, it's true, because Neymar was touted to be like, well, he was the only player in like fucking ages to be in the top 10 Ballon d'Or who didn't play in Europe when he was at Santos. Massive hype on him for good reason. The guy was a freak.
When he first came to Barcelona, he was also a freak.
He was a freak.
When he had that front three with Suarez, Neymar, Messi, probably the best front three that football's ever seen.
It was, yeah, it'd be like, very, very hard to go against that.
100%. So there was a period of time when he was good. I don't feel like Lamine Yamal is having that period of time.
Well, when
he has had moments.
Yeah.
But he's not like, bro, there was that the one season where they had, what would they call them? MSN?
MSN.
Yep. When they were the MSN and they were just unstoppable.
Mm.
That season, Neymar was on point every game. He was ripping everybody.
Yeah.
You couldn't touch him.
They all did their part. You know what I mean? Messi was doing everything. Suarez was banging in goals. And Neymar was the flair.
Yeah.
And it all worked. Hence why they won the treble.
Rainbow flicking people.
Yeah.
Referees telling him, like, you need to chill out because the team's getting the shits.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane. But I haven't seen Lamine Yamal on a consistent basis do that.
Well, look, I'm just looking at his stats right now. Last year, look, in all competitions, it was 55 games, 18 goals, 21 assists, right? That's mad.
Great numbers.
1 year and you're 18. Bro, you have so much more to do to try to even get to that sort of Neymar level.
And he's had
He's already partying like he's Neymar who was 28.
And that's my issue with it, right? Like, if you'd waited till you were 23, right? You proved yourself, you won a few trophies, won a Champions League even, right?
Yeah.
And then you decided, oh, we're a party, I'm the man. You're the man.
Mm.
But unfortunately, the only reason that you're the man is everyone going, this kid has big potential, the most potential than any other kid on the planet.
Mm.
And you're going, I'm the man now.
Mm.
I don't think you are.
No, nah, look, I think the reason why he does, in my opinion, why he feels like he is that much above everyone else, because you look at the way he's talking about other teams, about his fucking Spanish captain, you know what I mean? Like, all this bullshit that's going on. I just feel like him being nominated for the Ballon d'Or, which was hyped up by his PR team, has really affected him. And I don't, unless he changes his attitude. Like, we'll get into this next week, but I saw this video where this guy was talking about how Estevao will be better than Lamine Yamal, not based off talent, based off attitude.
Yeah, well, he's not at nightclubs throwing midgets and, you know, chicks only, bro, in my area.
Bro, Estevao goes to church every Sunday. He still hangs out with his family. Like you said, Lamine Yamal is partying like an absolute fucking moron at the moment.
Yeah.
And he's 18 years old. What 100%. Do you think he's going to be like when he starts getting addicted and wants more partying and he wants to have bigger nights, and then before you know it,
you'd be like Ronaldinho and hit his own table at a nightclub. And but the difference is, I mean, Ronaldinho did it when he was in his late 20s, and he was already the man, right? Like, he was
again, like you said before, Lamine Yamal is just starting and you're already partying like an absolute moron. So look, for me, if he doesn't start changing things around, he's not going to be around like this very long. He can fucking kiss away Ballon d'Ors.
Well, it's what I mean, right? As soon as your fitness starts to drop, as soon as your body starts to react to this partying bullshit.
Which we've all been. We all thought we were fucking invincible at some stage, right? We could go out all hours of the night, come out and have a game. I mean, we're playing Sunday park football, but still, you still thought like we could go out and just ball out even after a night out.
And then I started throwing up on the sideline.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, God, what am I doing with my life?
So James, where were you last night? I mean, I was at a rave all night. I haven't slept. It's all right, I'll bang in a couple goals, and then I just collapse on the field. And I was like, damn, we should get this guy an ambulance. But while we're on Barca, Lewandowski, his biography's come out recently.
Yep.
And there's some big accusations in relation to Barcelona. And well, they're calling it potential match fixing. I just think it's Barcelona needing some cash.
This is Barca doing Barca shit at the moment.
Because Lewandowski, obviously, you know, one of the biggest goal scorers in the world, obviously has add-ons with his deal that he got from Bayern in relation to goals. So that he needed two more goals and they had to pay Bayern 7 or 8 million euros at the end. So they obviously told him, don't score the goals.
Yeah, so at this stage, they already won the title, right? And so then Barca told Lewandowski, don't score any more goals for the rest of the year. And look, if I was a striker, I'd be like, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, of course.
I want to score goals.
Because he's got bonuses too.
Yeah. Lewandowski at this stage, at the stage in his career, probably didn't care as much. He wanted to help out the team, especially because at that stage, that's when Barca were trading away their name.
Yeah.
They were giving away pieces of grass.
I saw that. They were selling sections of grass. They were selling dinners.
Dinners on at Camp Nou.
Yeah, on the Camp Nou on the grass.
Yep.
For thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Fucking insane.
It's at that stage
dude.
Where they were just doing anything they could to make money slash save money.
Yeah.
So they did that. Now, this is on top of that is another one that I heard. So Rafinha, who went from Leeds, this is last year.
Mm-hmm.
Rafinha went from Leeds to Barca and had an absolute cracker season. We were saying, if Barca win the Champions League, then Rafinha probably deserves the Ballon d'Or.
The Ballon d'Or, 100%.
Right? That's what we thought. But then obviously they pushed Yamal. We found out that the reason why they pushed Yamal was because Barca didn't want Rafinha around the top 10. Because if he got the Ballon d'Or, Barca would have to pay Leeds 25 million euros. And they didn't want that.
Yeah, which at the time when they bought him, they thought it's never going to happen.
Exactly. You put that in any clause, right? Yeah. Now, like if someone like if you bought something like Ritz, right? Say you had a Ballon d'Or clause in Ritz, right?
Yeah.
You know that Ritz is going to do so well for you that he's going to make you money. And you're like, okay, because he's done so much, we'll give Leverkusen a bit of cash. Same with us. Let's say like Palmer, right? We'll go, okay, Man City, you're going to get a bit of cash, but we're going to make a shit ton off Palmer.
Him being the Ballon d'Or, that's it, yeah.
Rafinha, they definitely thought, oh, we'll just throw it in there just to get him fucking on a cheap deal or whatever, just to get the deal over the line. And it nearly fucking happened. If they won, it should have happened.
Yeah.
I would love to see where Barca would be having a fork over 25 mil.
They can't. They've had so many financial problems, especially over the last 5 years.
It's bad.
That's crazy. Like, even Messi, when Messi left, like one, and no one thought Messi would ever leave Barcelona.
Yeah.
Right? And then they were just like, well, we can't afford to have Messi in our team.
Bro, he wanted to take like a 90% pay cut, and they were like, we still can't afford to pay you. Yeah. And you're going, what the fuck?
But then proceed like the very next window to go and buy like three players. And then they're like, you can't register them.
Yeah, you can't register them. Every window, it's the same shit.
They're like your junkie relative coming over to... Just need $100 just for my rent.
Seen that before.
It's fine. You give them $100 and then like 12 hours later, they're like, I need $900, man.
Listen, you know that money you gave me? Yeah. Well, I don't have it anymore.
Yeah, the difference, I feel good now. I know why you feel good. and you're not getting another $100. Damn it.
And on top of that, I don't know if you've seen, they still owe like, I think it's like 60 million in transfer fees.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how Chelsea pay in installments?
Incrementally, yeah.
Barca are getting to that stage now. Rafinha's one. Lewandowski? Or Ferran Torres is one. There was like four or five players.
Hey, they've got players on tick.
They've got players on tick.
That's it. They've gone out to the best teams and they've like, give us the good stuff. And they're like, I'll pay you later.
Exactly,
you know I'm good for it.
I'm Barcelona.
You're chasing me for it?
What do you mean you're selling grass?
Yeah. You want to dinner at the camp? No, I want my money.
Would you like a nice candlelight dinner? No, I want my $15 million, you piece of shit.
Because we can give you the candlelit dinner. We can't give you the $15 million.
We'll give you 10 candlelit dinners. That doesn't help me.
But, I mean, moving across to, obviously, their rivals, Real Madrid.
More issues going on in Spain.
Xabi Alonso's taken over that team, and it's a little bittersweet. More sweet for me because, you know, sucked in Trent. So Vinny Jr., who I have spoken at length about how I think he's a fraud.
Yes.
I don't think he's as good as everyone makes him out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Conor Bradley put him in his pocket, right? Like, again, he's inconsistent. I don't think he gets the numbers that he needs to for that Ballon d'Or player.
Yeah. Which he pushed for when they won the
He complained about it publicly. He just said, I should have won the Ballon d'Or. That's crazy. Why? Yeah. Like, no one can figure it out. I'm like, you don't have the most goals. Mm. You don't have the most assists.
Mm.
Even if I combine them, you don't have the most of either.
Mm.
Like, it's just, your GA sucks. All right, it's like, I dribbled around people the most. All right, we didn't do anything once you got past them. The fuck? So everyone knows, I mean, it's kind of, well, sorry, not everyone, but it's been pretty evident in the news that Xabi Alonso and Vinny Jr. have fallen out of favour with each other.
Right, so, it was massively shown on worldwide TV when he got subbed in the Clásico.
Yeah.
He got subbed off and he pretty much told Xavi to fuck off, went into the dressing room, came back out in his thongs.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, so you're being a dick.
Yeah, you're being a child.
Yeah, being
it's
a child.
Exactly, exactly, that's exactly what you are. You're chucking a tantrum because your manager said something. You think you're bigger than the team and the club and the manager.
Bro, you look at that team and Vinny would never be in my top five.
Oh, no, that team. No chance. Jude Bellingham's before.
Jude, Mbappe, Courtois, Militao. And Carvajal. There you go. There's dude, just off the top of my head.
That Mascherano, that new Argentinian guy they
Valverde.
Got.
Valverde.
I think
Valverde is more valuable than
100%.
You know what I mean?
Well, because Valverde, they go, he goes, I'm kind of an attacking mid. They go, we need a right back. Done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No complaints.
Same. Look, Camavinga's the same.
Yeah.
We need you to play on the wing. Okay. I need you to play centre back. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you play cam? Okay.
I think Rudiger's more important than that team.
Rudiger's way more important. Yeah. Rudiger
like, you know so much I feel like team. You can replace Vinny Jr. A lot of those other players were too hard to replace or costly to replace, right?
Yeah.
Vinny Jr., I think you could take some of the young kids that they've got there and put them out there. I think you put Arda Güler out there.
Güler plays on the other side, yeah.
And I think
you could keep Rodrigo and get rid of Vinny.
100%.
Yeah.
I think Rodrigo's more effective.
Rodrigo is more about the team. And you can see, because he was kept on the bench for a lot of the games at the start of the season.
And he stayed.
Now he's starting to get a bit of game time. And you can see it's, you know.
Well, remember at the start of the season, every Arsenal fan thought they were getting Rodrigo.
Mm-hmm.
They go, we're getting Rodrigo. I'm like, you're not getting fucking Rodrigo. Chill the fuck out. That guy's like in his prime. He's not leaving. He'll sit there and fight for his fucking spot.
Real Madrid know what they're doing. We'll just call that. There's a reason why they're so successful.
But the rumours are now circulating further to say that Vinny Jr. has gone to the Real Madrid board and the powers to be and given them an ultimatum to say it's either Xabi Alonso or me. Mate, if I'm sitting there, like from my perspective, that's an easy decision. I'm sticking with Xabi.
Yeah, you go with Xabi all day.
Because I'm like, well, I can make money off you.
Not just money, bro. If he goes to Saudi, they can make like 200 million.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what they could do with that 200 million? Real Madrid would know exactly what
they could
do
with buy three junior Vinnies and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Surely one of them is good.
Yeah, one of them will go, yep, you're the one. You can overtake Vinny Jr. No
or
problem.
They could burn you and go for Estevao, bro.
They could try. I don't think it'll happen.
Oh, big money, bro. The Americans like money, dog.
They do. They do. I don't see it happening for a long while. But look, Vinny Jr., look, he's got beef with Xabi Alonso. I don't know why.
He plays him every game.
I think it's because, look, he came from having Ancelotti as his manager, right? Ancelotti is probably the best man manager. For me, the best manager we've ever seen. But it's because he was so good at man managing too.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, obviously,
He fed the egos of the players that he needed to feed.
He did it right as well. You know what I mean? He towed that line of not being, like, showing too much favoritism to one player. He towed the line with all of them, but he was fair. But he was able to, like, be like a father figure.
Yeah.
Whereas Xabi Alonso is obviously, like, 40-something, right? So he's totally different to...
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, he does...
Also, Xabi Alonso is a legend for Real Madrid.
Oh, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy
the disrespect that he's getting at the club, where it's just like, dude, like he's won all the trophies with Real Madrid during his playing time there.
Yeah.
He's then obviously gone and had a great managerial career with Leverkusen.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy levels of play with Leverkusen.
Mm.
Now he's come across here and he gets this big disrespect from a player that... Vinny really hasn't won everything.
He has.
Well, he's won the Champions League.
He's won the league. Yeah. I don't know if they've won the Copa del Rey. Yeah, he's won... I don't know if he's won the Copa del Rey.
Okay. Well, that's probably the smallest of all those trophies.
He's having a whinge, like, of what's happening at Real Madrid. Bro, he's not even going to be the starter at Brazil. He's going to get overtaken at Brazil.
Which is crazy. He's not the captain of Brazil.
Mm-mm.
Which is insane. If you're a player at the level that he goes and puts himself out in the media to be, you should be the captain.
Mm.
You should be leading the team. Neymar was the captain and he was a fuckwit. So you're a bigger fuckwit than what Neymar was.
Yeah, he's getting to that stage. But look, realistically, if he was to leave, where would he go?
Realistically.
Saudi Arabia, I think, is the only them or PSG.
He's not going to play in England. No chance he's playing in England.
I don't think any...
There's no way. He would die in England.
The only team that I could see putting in big money is obviously City. I don't see Arsenal, Chelsea. Chelsea won't do it because he's too old. He's only 24. You know, he's too old for us.
Yeah.
I don't think
you're above our average age? Gross.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
dude, you guys are the Leonardo DiCaprio of the football world.
I'm cool with that. Greatest actor ever, bro. you guys might, but you'd have to... sell.
We wouldn't.
You'd have to sell a lot of players to.
We'd have to sell Gakpo. Hopefully get big money for Salah. From Saudi.
Probably a midfielder.
Probably even have to sell an Ekateke or fucking Ishak.
Yeah, you'd have to sell a lot of players to.
Because they're going
to
want 200 million for him. You know what I mean? Easy 200 million. I'm like, I don't think he's worth 200 million.
No,
I don't. Because he's not going to get you 20 goals.
Right?
He might get you 20 goals and assists. Maybe 30. Maybe.
Say, 25, 30. Yeah. I can say that.
Goals and assists.
Goals and assists.
Across all competitions.
Mm-hmm. England's.
It's not worth 200 million.
Especially going from Spain to England. England's a lot tougher. It's a lot quicker.
Yeah, the climate sucks. He'll complain.
He'll complain. He'll whinge
about
it.
He'll complain the entire time. People will put big tackles on him. He'll whinge. He'll get injured. Yeah. Fuck that, dude.
So, look, the only teams I could really see, obviously, are the Saudi clubs and the other Arab clubs.
Barcelona go for him, but they've got no money.
Bro, they can't even afford Vinny Jr.'s boots,
a lot,
bro.
Yeah, that's a lot of dinners on the Camp Nou, bro.
Yeah, bro.
It's a lot of dinners in Camp Nou. All right, let's go into the Premier League stuff and then we'll jump into the game. So I don't think we've raised this at all, but there was a vote put to the Premier League clubs and they were really tossing about doing a salary cap.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, me personally, I'm against it. I'm like, I want to see big money. I think
Want to compete with the other leagues, like the Premier League, you want your teams to be winning Champions League, winning Europe, right? Yeah. And if you're restricting your teams, whereas you've got Spain and Italy and Germany and PSG just blowing cash however they want, you're restricting the teams.
Because I think it only benefits the bottom five teams.
Yes.
Right? Because everyone else from there. But also, they're making huge money off TV rights on the basis they're bringing in these big players, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So
it
hurts the bottom five teams as well, because if you're able to go and be competitive and stay up, man, that 180-odd million that they're going to get for staying up, that's insane money.
That's great money.
Some of those clubs, like, was it Bournemouth? When they first came in?
Yeah.
Like, the most that they made in a season was like 9 million or something. Mm. Then that season, they made 180 million. They're like, oh.
Yeah, the owner was like, this is mad.
Yeah, it's his best investment. He's a real estate investor, and that's his best investment.
And now look at them. They've been in the Premier League for over 10 years now.
Yeah, and they're about to make some big money on Semenyo too. So they're cheering. They put a vote to all the Premier League clubs to whether or not to implement a salary cap. Surprise, surprise, they got rejected on a 12-7 basis. So what remains now is it's the same rules, so the financial fair play rules. So across three seasons, the clubs are only allowed to lose a maximum of no more than 100.
Jesus Christ. That was loud. Oh, that was a good one.
Damn. Well, damn it. Now it says you'll walk alone. No. Damn it.
You'll never walk alone.
So it remains the same. We will see the Premier League carrying on under the same principles.
This is a lot better than salary caps. You've got to work off 100%. Your losses.
It encourages the clubs to start increasing their revenue.
Yeah.
Right?
You've got to find a way to increase revenue.
Yeah.
Whether it's selling players or sponsorships or whatever you got to do. You know, this encourages them. Salary cap restricts them. You can make as much money as you want, but you're only allowed this much.
Yeah, but also it'll really cap how much money they can make, right? Because if they can't bring in more players to get better sponsorships, to get better shirt sales for your sponsors, to get more people with bums in seats, to make sure it's fully packed out. Yep. And look, I don't know if you've ever tried to buy a ticket to a Premier League game. It's not cheap, man. Right?
No,
it's not easy
so.
To get because they're sold out. Every game is sold out. If you want to get a ticket to Anfield, I was looking into it for one of our mutual friends, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's going over to Europe. He goes, oh, where'd you buy your tickets for the Liverpool game?
Mm.
Dude, tickets are starting at $700 Australian. If you want to go in the cop, right?
Oh,
and
that's
the upper tier of the cop.
Yeah.
Dude, if you want to go front and center in the cop within like the first four rows, $1,200.
Yeah.
No problem, right? For like that. Obviously, there might be another game where it's a, like versus Wolves or something. You'll pay $500, but
for
the second tier cop.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
You might not even be able to get a game for that. And again, that's just buying somebody's season ticket for the day.
Yeah,
that's what it is. So, like, that's the level that of revenue that people can make. So, if you're a season ticket holder, you sell your ticket to two games of the season, it's free.
Yeah.
Your season ticket is free.
Yeah, how good is that?
Because, again, you can't get season tickets.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people that want to watch it.
Mm.
So if you restrict that, I don't see it being beneficial to the league. So we continue on as it is, and we'll be happy.
Yeah, good.
Now, Let's jump into match day 11.
Match day 11? 12.
Match day 12. Match day
12, yeah. It's written right there.
It is written right in front of me. There you go.
Look, we both got four, so...
Both got four. You remain 4 points ahead of me for that goddamn week. You got eight, you bastard.
That's last week, yeah. But let's start with the Chelsea game.
So well, it's actually the first two games are going to be your game and my game.
Yeah, nice. Straight
your one's going to be my champion.
Let's start off with a good note. So, look, we both picked Chelsea. Look, to be fair, this was a straightforward game. And I actually think it was a lot easier than what I thought it was going to be. We were dominant, not dominant in the first half. We were expecting Burnley to start with a back five, but they started with a back four. So they had more men in the midfield, and they kind of restricted.
I think that was a mistake for them. I think they, because when they had the back five, they became a fortress, right? They had a lot of near-law draws.
Yeah.
And I think they probably should have taken that approach with you guys. You guys are probably not that disadvantaged at scoring goals at the moment.
From what I saw, right, so what they did is they had the four, but then it was like a 4-3-3. So their three attackers were restricting our defenders from passing into the mids, right? Mm-hmm. And they did a really good job of that for the first half or the first 30 minutes or so. And then, you know, we couldn't really get into a rhythm. Once we figured out that they had a back four, we changed our system, which is one thing I love about Maresca. He's very good at tactics. Not when we get a red card, he buckles. But when it's 11 on 11, he made a really good choice. And I think he pushed more men into the midfield. He turned to like a three. And we had more in the midfield, and then we were able to dictate the play from there. Once we got that first goal, it was game over from there.
Well, I mean, you guys did get a bit lucky prior to that with the handball from Chalobah.
Yeah, so...
It was silly from him to... One, Sanchez has passed... Well, anyway, yeah. I haven't seen it. So Sanchez has passed the ball.
Yeah, so just before we go on, Sanchez passed the ball to Chalobah. It looked like he passed the ball to him in the box from a goal kick.
Mm.
And he's put his hand
on the ball. We picked up the ball.
No, he put his hand to stop it, but he still touched it with his hand. Yeah. And then everyone, like the Burnley fans, have blown up, going, oh, handball. And we've seen it given before.
Tyrone Mings.
Right? Now, I'm glad he didn't. Michael Owens came out and said he couldn't do it, couldn't give a penalty because, like, he wouldn't have the balls to do it. And I wouldn't be able to go, yeah, it's a penalty because we know what they're doing, but it's still not right. For me, way too risky. Bro, don't put your hand on the ball.
Oh, 100%. Use your feet.
If Sanchez is going to give Chalobah the ball, he pick it up and give it to him. Yeah. Don't pass it because that's a goal kick.
Yeah,
that's
correct. Goal kick. That's exactly what he's done. He stopped the ball. Yep. He's passed it to him. The ball's not rolling.
Yeah,
not
he didn't
anything.
Throw it. He didn't throw
in
it and
the
then go
bar. Box. For me, if they gave the penalty, I don't think there's much argument to it.
Bro, I would mean it's super so annoying.
Yeah, it's super dumb.
Super annoying, super dumb if something like that happens. And like we said, we've seen it in the Villa game in the Champions League last year. You know, and they do give it. So to do something that risky, it's just...
Especially when VAR could have stepped in.
Yeah, 100%. But look, after that, there wasn't, like I said, wasn't any real chances until the 30th minute. Neto gets another goal.
It was a nice, I will give it to this, and I've been half on the fence with Gittins. I'm like, he has some moments, he's good.
Yep.
But the assist that he gave to Neto was a beautiful assist.
Yeah, it's on the money.
Yeah, 100%.
Back post, Look, Gittins is young, he's only 20, still working his way. It's hard to really see how he's going because he's always in and out. Right, he's not a full time starter like Neto or like Pedro. You know
he's
what
not
I mean?
Going to because what? It's Garnacho that's probably the full time starter.
Garnacho's probably our starting left winger until Palmer comes back. Then we don't know how they're going to change the team, but or if Estevo starts, we don't know. But that was great assist by Gittins. And then look, we pressed from there. Neto hit the post in the 63rd minute. 80th minute though, Burnley pushed. They pushed. They held out for as long as they could, and then they pushed. They got a couple set pieces, corners, which one of them, Batty Shield, tried to wrestle.
That was crazy. One, so there's probably two aspects to it. One, so he does wrestle him and pushes him outside of the...
Bro, he pushed him like...
Pushed him outside the field.
He pushed him like he was a guard in the NFL. Yeah. He's just like, bro, what are you doing?
So they stopped the game. He gets a yellow for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the complaints that have come in afterwards are like, well, he already took the free kick before the corner before you blew the whistle, meaning the ball's in play.
Yeah.
You've then given him a yellow card, meaning it's a foul.
Mm.
So why is it not a penalty?
So I think what's happened is the ref has said he blew the whistle before the kick, or he noticed it before the kick.
And that's
right?
Why they've gone back afterwards. They'll be like, no, the ball's literally in play as you've blown the whistle, meaning it should be a foul. And then the flip side to it is that they've gone to do the corner again. Betty Shaw just does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
He just does the exact same thing to him, and then there's no foul.
Right, he was really pushing it in that game.
He's your worst defender.
Centre back? Yeah. Well, nah, probably defender in general, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've always thought he was shaky. There was big hype on him because he was like 6'4", or 6'3". He's a big body. He can play. He knows how to pass the ball, right? But just mentally, he's just not up there with like Shalabar.
He's not a professional.
Not like Shalabar or Fofana or Cole Will. Tosin's the level head of the team, yeah. But look, 88th minute, Enzo gets the final goal. Great run by Mark Gee.
That was a good ball. Cutback too.
Yeah, he out-muscled the centre-back and then cut it back for Enzo. So, look, straightforward game. Few controversial moments, but all in all, very happy with the way we played.
Well, then we had our game.
Yeah, so look, we
going to go the opposite with that one. Yeah, definitely not happy how we played.
No, look, we both picked Liverpool in that one, but, bro.
Fucking shocking, dude.
Lead the way.
Oh, I mean, far out. We might have to skip over the rest of the games with this rant. it was totally shocking. So we had all of our chances came in the first half, and they were all half chances.
Yep.
They were fucking shit, man.
They were shots from outside the box, though.
No, so we had about three inside the box. McAllister had one inside the box. Gakpo had one inside the box. And then there was one other, maybe Dominic inside the box.
Yeah, I think it was Sob Sly.
Dominic,
I think it was, yeah.
Those two guys. And look, to give the defense, and this is something that
Salah. I think it was Salah.
Yeah,
he ripped a couple of players in the box.
He tried
to shoot, yeah.
The problem is that, like, all right, I get it. Like, Slot keeps coming out and going, oh, the low block's there. It's hard to, you know, we're creating chances and it's hard to break through when it's a low block and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, cool. But you should be good enough to change our tactics to adopt what they're doing, okay? Like, you can't just sit there and be like, no, well, they got in the way. It's like, oh, so we just lose then?
Yeah, you just...
Like, is that your solution? Your solution is just to lose?
Yeah.
Because then we see it. Obviously, they go down the opposite end. Lazy defending on a corner, and Murillo gets his first goal. Gets the first goal.
Yep.
Obviously, there's complaints that have now come around going, well, we copped an offside for the exact same goal the week before against Man City. Someone in front of the keeper, right? Yep. He's on the edge of the six-yard box. The ball goes straight past him where it's at, goes in. They come out and they said, oh, he didn't obstruct Alisson's view. Obviously, you know, we're going to sit there and say, well, we're hard done by. Chipped us last week for that exact same thing.
Yeah.
Whether or not we would have won last week, no.
Yeah.
But it's more that... Fuck VAR for doing this.
Well, you want some consistency, right?
Yeah, of course. If you're going to say it's offside one week, make sure it's offside the next.
Yeah, that's all you want is consistency.
100%. Then, you know, apparently we got some retribution there because Igor goes and scores a second before the half.
Yes.
They call it handball. It's not a handball. Didn't hit his hand at all.
Yeah.
Right? So that goal should have stood. So that's apparently, you know, that's everyone's been saying. They were going, oh, well, that one, you know, like, shouldn't have counted.
That's the trade-off,
But they got rid of this one. It's like, no, I don't want the opening goal. That's the worst one.
You want the calls to be right.
But the problem is, it's just that we're not setting up right, okay? And I think I complained to you on a massive rant over the phone.
I timed that rant. Yeah. Bro, it was like 45 minutes.
It was 45 minutes. I'm not going to get into it again.
We spoke for five. You ranted for 45. We finished off 10 minutes. We had an hour-long conversation. And three-quarters of it was you complaining about the game.
No, because it's ridiculous. Because Slot keeps coming out, and he plays the same fucking team every week. It's the same formation. He just changes where the players are playing. It's like 1 minute Dominic's on the right back, and then the next minute he's playing in the midfield.
Mm.
It's like, cool. That's great. He's going to give you the same energy in either position.
Yeah.
But the problem that he has, he just keeps rolling out this same team. And I keep saying it again and again. I want to see us play a 4-4-2 with a diamond in the midfield.
Mm.
I think that's the perfect way to play. We have four at the back. It's going to be Konate, Virgil. You're either going to have Robbo or Kerkez out on the left, depending what you want.
Well, I think if you play with a diamond, you'd have Kerkez, right? Yeah,
correct, because he can bomb up.
Yep.
And then you'll have, well, depending who's fit, Frimpong, Connor Bradley, or Joe Gomez to an extent, right? Again, you want Frimpong because it allows him to bomb up. But if you have Joe Gomez, it allows him to slot into a three when we all push forward.
Mm.
Then in the midfield, you have Gravenberch at the six. Then you have either side, box to box, will come Alexis McAllister on the left, Dominic Soboslai on the right.
Mm.
Then you have up front Wirtz. That's the position he wants to play.
Yeah, as a cam.
The reason that he came to us is that we guaranteed he'd play that cam position.
Mm.
So you've got to let him sit there and go, do your thing then. Mm. Go cook. Then we have two up front. We've got a plethora of choices up front.
So many you options
can have,
up front.
You can have Ishak up there as an out and out. You can have Ekotike. Ekotike likes dropping in and getting the ball. You can leave your Shaq up there. Then you're pulling your center back out, or you're forcing one of their midfielders to drop in.
Mm.
Like, it's logical in my mind, right? He seems to have a better football mind than me. Figure it the fuck out.
Mm.
Don't just keep doing the same thing. Then if you're going to, you know, if Salah's going to get all upset, wait till AFCON, please. then
hey, well, it's November 26th, you still got another 6 weeks.
Yeah, so, well, that's not soon enough. but then you can also have Gakpo can play through the middle. It's not his ideal position, but you can have him shifting off to the left if he wants to be out on the left to collect the ball, right? But it doesn't get this bullshit, and we did it in this game, where he gets the ball and he goes left, and then he goes right.
So they're just like umbrella around.
It's all he's doing. And there's no breakdown. There's no runs going through.
Mm.
And there's no risky passes. And I said this on my rant.
Yep.
When we had Klopp, Klopp took a 50-50 ball and goes, well, just play the 50-50 ball. Mm. Because I have players that are a 60-40 player.
Mm.
So if it is a 50-50, they make it a 60-40.
Yep.
Because of the quality, speed, and athleticism they have. Slot doesn't do that. He doesn't allow these players to use their talents. He's just going, here's how you're going to play, play like that.
Yeah.
And then we saw it. They all came out in the second half, and I don't know what the instructions were, but within 40 seconds, we allow another goal.
It was, yeah, look, McAllister got ripped, and this is where your tactics have now just sprung up on me, right? So, I haven't watched a lot of Liverpool games, right? But when I was watching this game, so that first goal, Murillo's goal, Salah's in the box defending. Now I'm like, why? He is like the shortest guy on your team and probably one of the quickest. And
because he wants to do zonal defending.
Yeah, nah.
He wants to do zonal defending.
Nah.
And when he does zonal defending, you need numbers to do it.
Yeah.
The fucking problem, it's like, remember when we copped the goal from Dan Burns and he had Alexis McAllister?
In the cup final?
Yeah, yeah, and he had Alexis McAllister on Dan Burns and everyone went, that seems stupid. And then his analysis of it was, when have you ever seen a player of that size out there? Well, since you put Alexis McAllister there, that's what the fuck you would do. Like, if you're one of those players, you look around the pitch and go, you're going to put this guy on me?
Bro, you think about it, right? Like, you think like Jamie Carragher or John Terry or Rio Ferdinand would allow the biggest guy on the opposition team to be marked by the smallest guy on the opposition team? No.
It's fucking crazy.
Virgil should have been on him. I don't say it's a Virgil fault. This is, again, a tactics thing.
Uh-huh.
You've got Virgil. You've got Konate. They're big cunts.
Mm.
Bro, put them on the biggest guy.
Yes.
But for some reason, I saw that, right? Then I saw this and I was like, something is going on. That second goal for Savona, he rips McAllister and Salah is defending the cutback.
Yeah.
Like, when I've watched Salah for, 10 years now? I have never seen him in the box defending like that. Unless
He stays up close to the last man.
Unless it's like you guys are holding a 1-0 lead, right?
Yeah, that's how Alisson gets an assist with Salah, because they try to cut in the box. One of the other defenders gets the ball and he just goes, boom, go.
Yep.
Right? Fast break. But Slot doesn't want to do that. He does not want a fast break. He wants to play that Dutch style of total football where everyone's moving around as chess pieces. And I'm sorry, the team that we have, they don't understand that. You're taking players with great qualities and going, I need you to do less.
Yep.
And it just doesn't make it. We're going to continue to lose games if that happens.
And I think I said this on your big ass rant, but it's like the main guys that have been there for so long, right? They understand the Klopp style, right? Now they've come in. Now last year, I think, look, for me, last year, Slot kind of played the same as Klopp. He put a little bit of his influence in it, but was still technically Klopp's style.
Well, he just changed in certain games to adapt to the game that was happening rather than going,
which you hyped on. Like, because he would change, make tactic 100%. Changes. Yeah.
We would have some first halves where they were so terrible.
Yeah.
And he would then just go, you'd come out after halftime and it'd be a completely different team.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, great, this guy understands what's going on. But now he's going the opposite and it's coming out at halftime and they don't understand what they have to do.
Yeah.
Because they've gone out one way and then he's trying to do something else.
Mm.
You've got these five big players that we've brought into the team and he's trying to incorporate them in when they just don't, you can see that the players on the pitch don't get each other. They don't. We're misplacing passes behind. Dominic's putting a ball behind Gakpo because Gakpo's trying to run forward.
Yeah.
He's trying to play to keep the possession.
Yeah.
So we cannot have a, like, here's where I went on my rant. So I went, all of our players are going to international duties and getting an 8.5 rating out of 10 and destroying teams, scoring, assisting, leading the team to victory. And then all of a sudden they come back to their club team and they suck.
Mm.
That can't be them. They can't just have chosen, I'm playing for Hungary today. I'm going to be the man.
Yeah.
I'm playing for the Netherlands today. I'm going to be the man.
Yeah.
I'm playing for Germany today. Nagelmann came out and said the same thing. If you aren't getting the best out of Wurz, it's the manager's fault. And everyone's turning. So now the rumor is Slot has until Christmas to figure out, or until the new year to figure it out. Otherwise, he gets the sack. I don't support that. I think we should give him time to figure it out.
Mm.
But
to be fair, Christmas is, that's September, October, November. That's 4 months. You think that's not enough time?
Christmas is a month.
No, from the start. Sorry, from the start of the season.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's been 4 months.
No. I completely agree. I think... The new year, like if he's coming up to new year and we're having these losses, that's it.
Then I guess the question would be, who do you replace him with?
That's for them. No, I let the powers to be go and figure out what that happens. I'm not going to...
Who would you have as your replacement?
God, fuck. I mean, Zinedine Zidane's off the table now. is Ange?
Yeah, Ange is out. Imagine you coach your club after you talk so much shit about him.
Man, did I talk shit about Ange? I talked about him when he was in Australia talking shit.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but that's old now. I've already apologized for that and said that I was wrong. All right. I've already said that I was wrong. So I'm allowed, he can come in. Ange is on the table. That's always
that would be very
Jurgen Klopp could come back.
Klopp could come back. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, he could come back with this team now. He looks at it and goes, yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah,
he could do something with that, yeah.
But I don't know.
Look, just to finish off, obviously, I know you want to talk about it, but Gibbs White scored the third goal.
Yeah, well, fucking Hudson-Odoi destroyed Robbo.
Yeah.
Hudson-Odoi.
Destroyed.
Yeah, bro, it's like Robbo just went.
I feel sorry for Rio. This kid's 16. He's got absolutely destroyed in that too.
Yeah, but again, he shouldn't need to be defending.
Yeah, exactly.
He should not need to be in a one-on-one situation defending.
Yeah.
But then also he had... They brought him on at the end of the game with 10 minutes to go. The game's done.
Garbage time.
And he had the most successful dribbles than any of our other players.
Crazy.
This is including Salah.
See, now on Salah again, I know that he's playing out of position and he's not getting the same
fucking
service.
Out of position. Shut up.
He is. No, I mean, like, he's defending more.
Yeah.
So he's not. Right. He's not being pushed up where he normally is, right? But still, you look at the facts and he hasn't been anywhere near as good as what he's been. And last season, Slot had no problem dropping players. This season, I feel like he's trying to cater more to the players instead of just going, look, you're not playing well enough. You're going to start on the bench.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to see what happens in that dressing room.
Yeah. Well, let's see how they go tomorrow anyway.
Well, anyway, moving on.
Next game, I've got Wolves Palace.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, there was one other thing I did want to bring up about the Liverpool game. Ishak is the first player in a century to lose his first four games for Liverpool.
Yeah, listen, he's not playing great, man.
He's not fit.
But he's not fit and doesn't get service.
No.
What service does he get? You've got a player that's an out-and-out striker, and we haven't had that since Fernando Torres. And
Andy Carroll. You did have an out-and-out. Andy Carroll was out-and-out.
Andy Carroll can suck my dick, man. Okay. Andy Carroll plays in like the fourth division of France.
Still making that money.
No, he's not. He makes like £900 a month.
We make more money than him. all right. Next game, I've got Wolves Palace.
Yeah.
Look, I think this game, we both had Palace. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. 2-0.
I
was just burning. I captained Mateta.
Oh, right? Did you?
Again.
just do not go away from Haaland. I don't care. He's still got more points than Mateta.
He got one, I think, or two more points.
Yeah, he got one more point.
Yeah. But, bro, he had a one-on-one. He full fucking missed it.
Oh, full shanked the shit out of it, too. Dude, I was so annoyed by that. I know, so annoyed by that. But, look, Wolves, new coach, first game. He's actually a former manager. Rob Edwards played for Wolves back in the day. So it was good to see that come back. But, I mean... Bro, Palace are just Palace, bro. They're so good. They are set up so well. But, yeah, look, Mateta misses his one-on-one. Nil all at halftime, so Wolves probably feeling pretty good. But then, yeah, Munoz gets a 63rd-minute goal.
It was a deflection.
Did you see, like, the keeper was diving one way and then just ended up popped up for Munoz. It's just super open goal.
Nice.
Yeah, he's like, hectic, bang. And then Pino gets his goal in the 70th minute. Wolves tried to play it out and just didn't work. And it was a pretty nice goal, actually, Pino's one.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, Palace play nice football.
Palace do play nice football. They all know their role. They're all set up in it. Like, they all know what to do. Yeah, they're all set up. They're set up so well, bro. Pretty much, yeah. Next game, I got Fulham-Sunderland. Now, I had a draw on this one. You had Sunderland. We were both wrong.
Yeah.
Look, Fulham were probably the better team.
I think Harry Wilson had a great game.
He did have a really
Harry
good
Wilson's
game, yeah.
probably one of their best players, I think. And he's most consistent too. Every time they put him on, he's a threat at goal. I think he had probably three chances where he probably should have bagged one of them.
At least one, yeah. Look, first half was pretty much all Fulham. Second half, Sunderland nearly scored, and it would have been a goalkeeper assist.
Yeah.
So if you, what's his fucking name, though? Whatever his name is. Yeah, he nearly got an assist, and if you had him in your fantasy team, you'd be fucking cheering because you would like getting an assist for a goalkeeper, cracker.
Yeah, it's great points.
But then, yeah, Jimenez gets the winning goal in the 84th minute.
I will say, though, the Sunderland keeper did fuck up.
He kind of got stuck in between coming out and
he went to come, right? and then he stopped, yeah. And it's just like, that is Ruffles, that's his name?
I think it's Ruffles or something.
So he went to come... Stopped, stutter stepped, went back, and then you're like, you're just inviting any direction that he puts. You can't dive now, right?
As soon as you do that, you're stuck in
no
man's
land. You can't dive. That's it. You're stuck. He should have just committed to coming out to it and just went to the ball, tried to punch it.
Yeah. And then Jimenez gets the goal.
Should have, would have, could have. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you,
one of the highest point scoring goalkeepers in the Premier League this year had to do his job.
And spewing because I had a draw in that for that one, but. I think the biggest part was the mini brawl after the game.
Yeah, I saw that. It was one of the coaches.
Guess who's in the middle?
Jacka. But it started with one of the coaches.
Yes.
One of the coaches started.
The coaching staff was full involved in
it. Yeah, dude. They had to grab the coaching staff and drag him away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, chill out, dude. Not a player, man. It's probably one of the physios, bro. They seem to always be getting in trouble.
They're all jacked up on physio shit.
except for the Chelsea one. That was the hot chick.
That hot chick, yeah.
Yeah, and then they sacked her because she was too hot.
She got sacked because Jose didn't like her, but she was pretty hot.
Yeah.
Next game, I got Bournemouth-West Ham. Now, look, we both picked Bournemouth in that one. West Ham go out to a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, that was crazy. I thought it was... I mean, look, we both picked Bournemouth. Probably shouldn't have, given that there was no Semenyo.
Yeah, which we didn't really know until game time. But we still could have changed our tip. That was the night of your brother's wedding. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, dude.
I wasn't worried about tipping at that stage.
I was 12 beers deep by that stage.
But look, Callum Wilson gets his first goal in the 12th minute. Petrovic definitely should have gotten that, but yeah, I think it was terrible weather.
It was
terrible weather, bro.
Most of these games on this night was pissing down rain.
Yeah, it was terrible. So look, you can kind of blame me for it, but the weather was fucking dog shit. Then Wilson gets his second goal in the 35th minute. Bro, he's turn and shoot.
I've tipped this as one of my goal of the week contenders.
I have also tipped this for one of my goals of the
week. Yeah, so I think I've got two contenders for this week. I think at the end we'll discuss and see which one we think wins it. But yeah. I don't know. It's a hard goal, man. Especially his age. Takes it on the chest.
And just turns and bang.
And puts it in.
Yeah. And look, Wilson's now got a few goals. I think he's got 3 and 2.
Yeah, so double against your old club. Not bad.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if, like, see a West Ham, when West Ham gets a nice run, he might be a good player to put in.
He's cheap too.
He is cheap as well, yeah. Then Tavernier gets a penalty in the 69th minute after the handball.
That's such a dumb handball, dude.
He just goes like that. No,
do you remember that meme where it was a guy doing the knee slide and then he just kept sliding like through the car park and shit like that? That's what it was, dude. He's like slid. You see his face like, oh crap.
Yeah.
And he's just like, Like, why'd you do that for?
And then Evan Nielsen's just gone.
Yeah.
Bro, come on. Yeah.
We're giving this?
Yeah. Tavernier gets the pen. Now, look, there was an equaliser in the 81st minute, but I do want to bring up Areola's save. It was a one-on-one from Kroupi.
Oh, dude.
Bro, he just stuck a hand out and bang.
Bro, Kroupi, he's another one that could go into anyone's team.
Yeah.
He's cheap. He starts and he gets himself in a position to score.
That's it, yeah. But yeah, that save by Areola. Whoa, bro.
He came out, but again, there was that one. He committed to coming out to the ball. Got it.
Now, unfortunately, 3 minutes later, Unal scores.
Unal, yeah.
First touch of the game, gets a goal.
Yeah. Hey, after coming back from injury, he's been injured for ages.
Yeah. So look, it finishes 2-2. Next game, I've got Brighton Brentford. Now, I picked the draw. Actually, we both picked the draw, and should have got it. We should have got this one.
Yeah.
And I'm double burning as well, which I will get into. But look, Thiago gets a pen in the 29th minute.
Buries it.
Literally the only highlight of the first half. That was it.
Yeah.
Right? It was boring. Welbeck?
Well, Welbeck did have a big miss in the first half.
Did he? I missed that.
Yeah, he had a big miss where it was just like he had a chance to just hit it from inside the box and put it over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he made up for that in the 71st minute. He did.
Great finish too.
Great cross by Minter. Minter put in a wicked cross and he got on the end of
Minter's
it.
Minter's another one that's a dark horse to get into a team.
Minter.
Cash knows all about this.
Yeah, Minter's all. Cash is all over Minter, actually. But you can start to see he's starting to get into some fantasy teams. So, not a bad time to bring him in. And then.
I can't, but I did that last season.
What, Minter?
Yeah. He did the same thing. I brought him in and like 10 games he sat on my team. He did fucking nothing. And then as soon as I took him out, he's like double.
You got
like,
mad.
Fuck you, dude.
You got mad PTSD over there.
Dude. I go to put him in my team, I start sweating and shit.
And then Hinshelwood scores the winner in the 84th minute. But shouldn't have been because Shardair. Shardair gets brought down in the box in like the 91st minute.
It's such a blatant penalty as well.
Oh, bro, hard.
The guy's just holding his hips.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Falls over, gets the pen. Thiago goes the same way.
Pen too, bro.
Verbruggen. I know, especially after the first one, he rocketed
shit
it in.
Shit pen.
So, yeah. Worst thing for me was that I just put Thiago into my team. And I was like, oh. So I was out. And then I'm looking at my fantasy score. It was like 40 points. After all these games, I was like, fucking killing it at the moment. I look back after the games, it's 38, and I'm like, how the fuck did I get 38? Did someone concede? Thiago missed the pen.
Yeah.
So instead of getting 10 points, I got 4 points because he fucking got 2 points, negative 2 points for missing the pen, and then didn't get the 4 points for scoring. It's fucking burning about.
Yep, and that's what happens.
Yep. So, Brighton win that one 2-1. Next game is Newcastle City. Bro, what a game. I had a draw, you had City, and again, Newcastle just pulled through.
Mate, Newcastle didn't just beat them, destroyed them.
Dominated that first half.
Bro, Walter May should have had a hat-trick.
Yes, he should have had a hat-trick, yeah.
Donnarumma, he had a hat-trick of Donnarumma saves from Donnarumma. Yeah. Harvey Barnes should have probably had a hat-trick as well.
Yeah. Haaland had a couple chances. Look, there were 6 big chances missed in the first half.
Yeah, 6 big chances missed in the first half, and fuck, was it 5 of them were Newcastle's?
Yeah, 5 were Newcastle. The other one was Haaland.
Yeah,
Newcastle pressed from the top,
mm-hmm.
which, to be fair, is probably the way to go when you play against City because they haven't got those passing centre backs or a strong midfield like they used to.
Yeah, correct. Like they don't have that turnout player
like Rodri was
when he's 100%.
Or De Bruyne or whoever. You know, even
they've
with
got
Bernardo
Cherki now, and Cherki's only effective when you get
Gonzalez.
Who the fuck is that guy? Because, dude, and you're probably right. Like, you really need to press their backline now.
If you press from the top, you stifle their defense and their midfielders, and then Haaland gets no service.
Yeah, they can't build it up, and the whole thing that's winning them games is Haaland.
That's it, yeah. But look, second half starts, and Barnes, who I think is a man on fire at the moment.
Yep.
He is killing it. He scores in the 64th minute. There was like a scramble in the box, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Then 3 minutes later, Diaz equalizes, another scramble in the box. He just gets on the end of it.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes after that, Barnes scores again. But huge controversy.
Well, there's rights to appeal on this.
There is huge controversy. So
he's offside.
Bruno is adjudicated in the game to be onside. But when they do the VAR check, they do it from Diaz's elbow, which you can't score from.
Well, yeah, it's like in between his elbow and his shoulder.
Yeah, it's, right? Yeah, it's meant to be from the sleeve. Yeah. I think they did it a little bit further down, which was the difference between
him being
Bruno
onside
being offside and offside, yeah.
And I thought it was supposed to be automatic now.
That's what I thought.
Semi-automatic.
Yeah, that's semi-automatic, yeah. So, and that happened, and look, City were not happy.
Nah, listen, fuck City, man. They got lucky with our offside against them, so
exactly,
they can just,
yeah.
You know, that's
again,
the punishment they get.
That's another karma thing.
No, nah, it's just a fucking VAR sucks issue, man. It's shit. They keep making mistakes, and I think the purpose is they don't want to be seen to be making these big decisions, so they don't make them, which is worse than making them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, we don't want to influence the game too much. It's like, yeah, but you're there.
Mm.
People are looking to you now. If you get it wrong, people are going to see this. And it's every week, there is at least one thing
easily
wrong.
Easily.
At least. And this week, there's what, four?
Yeah, I've had about three or four, yeah. Next game, Leeds-Villa. Now, we both had Villa in that one. Look, it's pretty straightforward. Nemeka scores for Leeds in 8th minute from a scramble. That was all the highlights in the first half. Yeah,
and that was almost all the highlights for Leeds.
Actually, you know what? You are right. But then Rodgers gets a goal 2 minutes into the second half.
Yep.
Marlon, good
to be
assist.
Honest, he's another man that's on fire. If
Rodgers
you watched
is
the
on
games,
fire.
Like, all right, he had not scored or assisted, I think, for 3 games.
Yep.
Right? But if you watch the Villa games, he's in every piece of play that they do.
Yep.
So everything goes through him, and he's either the pass before the assist,
yep.
or he's the run that takes the defender off.
Yep.
And then there's somebody else who's free who scores.
Yeah. So everything in attack goes through or around Rodgers.
Hey, look, listen, I had him, and when we get into the Arsenal game, I had Declan Rice to score assist in a parlay this week, and... giddy
came
up.
Came through.
Ooh, giddy up. Sweet 300, baby.
And so that's 1-1. And then Rodgers gets his second with a free kick. Bro, for me.
Beauty free kick.
Bro, this is also one of the goals of the week.
It definitely has potential.
Very Ronaldo-like. The way it swerved.
Up and over the wall.
Up and over and swerved in. Bro, crack a free kick. Unfortunately for Leeds, Calvert-Lewin did score. It was disallowed because of a handball.
Yeah.
I think he chested it and came off his hand and he put it away. So, look, Calvert-Lewin... isn't around, but I don't see Leeds being
Calvert-Lewin's
very competitive.
Such an average player.
Ever since his ACL tear,
like if you had to look at, if you put two players side by side, Danny Welbeck or Calvert-Lewin, go Danny Welbeck.
That guy all day.
Yeah, and then also Martinez saved the game for Villa right at the end. Makes a cracking save right at
he
the
is
end.
Still quality, that guy.
100%. He's
quality.
One of the best shot stoppers. Definitely one of the best penalty savers in the world.
Yep. All right, now we go to the big game, the North London Derby.
Which is funny. Like, it is a big game. It was a big score. There's not that much to talk about it, realistically.
Well, this is my headline for the game. Eze rejected Spurs for one reason.
Yeah. I see what you did
you
there.
You like that one?
I see what you did there. That could be the title.
That's a good one, actually. Yeah, fuck it. Go me. I'm making a big. Ma. Yeah. But look,
next
first half.
Jingles.
Like Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
But like you said, bro, there was not many highlights. It was all Arsenal in the first half. Tottenham, look, I kind of feel sorry for them because they have a lot of bad injuries to a lot of important people. But with the players that they have, they still should not be getting pumped for
one. Dude, listen, everyone's making fun of words about, you know, he's not performing, there's something. Xavi Simons is considerably worse.
Right.
He is considerably worse.
I think he does have an assist. But his play is just...
Bro,
he's actually disappeared.
At least Wirtz runs, right? Like, you can always go to him and say, well, Wirtz is trying really hard. Xavi, Simons, you don't see him. Like, you watch the games, you're like, is he playing?
Remember when we were going to buy him?
Yes.
So glad
dude,
we did.
Dude, I remember when bought Wirtz and everyone goes, what idiots, you should have bought Xavi Simons. He's essentially the exact same player. No, he's not.
Their goals and assists would show that, though.
I'll stab you.
But look, Trossard gets the first goal in the 36th minute. Huge deflection.
He's been one of their best attacking player.
Bro, Trossard is Mr. Consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Consistent. He might go like 2-3 games without doing a goal and assist, but the guy's always there.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's always running. He's always dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And they only bought him for like 25 mil or something from Brighton or 30 mil. Something.
It's one of their better pieces of business.
100% been one of the better pieces of business. Eze gets his... I mean, this was Eze's day after that. He just had a field day. He gets his first goal in the 41st minute.
Edge of the box, no one could touch him.
Bro, all of his goals were either on the just outside the box or just inside the box. Mm-hmm. So he knows his spot. But yeah, Rice gets the assist, which I was happy about, which you were happy about too.
Yeah, I was definitely happy about it.
It was an assist. Yeah, dude. He literally just went, passed the ball from here to here, and Eze just went, rip, rip, bang.
Yeah, dude, I loved it. I woke up and I looked at my app, and I'm like, oh, fucking Morgan Rogers scored. All I need is Declan Rice to score.
Yeah.
Or assist. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I pulled it up on Google, which doesn't show you the assists. And all I saw is like, oh, Eze scored twice in this fucking Declan Rice. If he's going to fuck me in a game where they win like four goals, he doesn't do shit. Yeah. And then I'm like, then we went to Bet365. I'm like, oh, I already won.
I got my money. Yeah.
Good work, Arsenal.
So look, they go into the sheds 2-0 at halftime, and then 36 seconds later, he scores his second. And you're just going, all right, that's it for me.
Game over.
But this was my goal of the week.
Yeah, this one's gonna be pretty hard to kind of argue against.
They pressed, was it Zubimendi or someone in the mids?
I think
it was Zubimendi.
It's in Zubimendi's position, yeah. So let's go with that.
Yeah, they press him, and the ball goes straight to Richarlison, who first time just has a shot.
Sees Raya off his line. Yeah, going, all right.
And I thought Raya was going to get there, but it was the perfect chip.
Yeah, bro, it was perfect.
Yeah, and it goes
That's
in.
That's one thing about Richarlison, right? He is actually a decent player.
I thought he was going to take your shirt off.
He's so tough. But that's the other side of him, right? It's just like, well, this guy can play, but he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a big idiot.
Yeah. And then Eze gets his hat-trick in the 76th minute. And like I said, all goals were on the edge of the box, inside or outside of the box. So look, Arsenal, they tick on. They're 6 points ahead of us now. They've been super, pretty much dominant in all their home games, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And Tottenham are just, they're on a free-for-all. And what's his name? The black guy that's
Kudus?
No. The commentator that does all the funny guy for Tottenham.
Oh, I don't
you
know.
Bro, he had a rant. He had a full-on rant. It's not Troops. No, not Troops. I forget his name. Yeah, he ranted about it.
Oh, he's been going off in the last few weeks on it because he's just like, you have like the best team.
You got rid of
Ange, who won you a trophy, let other people come in, gave him a bunch of players, and you suck worse than what was before because at least Ange had an excuse that he had like, you know, 8 injuries at a stage.
Correct, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he had an excuse. He'd built that team. He bought in the best players that they have in their team. Vinky van der Ven, he bought in.
Yeah.
Did he bring in Romero as well?
I think Romero might have already been there. Yeah. I'm just looking at Tottenham's like results, right? It's always like win, draw, draw, win, loss, draw, win, loss, loss, win.
They're not consistent.
It must be so frustrating to see that you have a quality defense with like some fucking pretty good players, let's be real here, and they're just so inconsistent.
Yeah, that's going to be the worst thing for anyone where you've just got an inconsistent team.
Speaking of inconsistent, last game, Man U Everton.
Yeah.
Bro, I thought...
Missed the inconsistent.
I thought I pulled off I had a bet going. I had Drewsbury Hall to score an assist, right? So... let's start off with the red card. Why not? Why don't we just start off with that?
Well, I want to see where we each stand on the red card.
Okay, let's do that. So we'll just give context. Manu were pushing. They lose the ball. Idrissa Gueye gets the ball and backheels in the box, who is expecting Michael Keane to follow. He doesn't. And I think Bruno has a shot and just misses. Boom, they start going at each other. And then the big incident happens. Gueye slaps Michael Keane. Straight red. He's off.
Yeah.
Now, all right, what's your take on it?
No red card.
Why?
Because they're teammates.
It's violent conduct. You can't do it.
No.
Yes, you can't do it.
Probably to what you expect. You can't do it against another player for a malicious reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing malicious in that. It's two guys arguing about a play that went on and they've pushed each other. He didn't punch him. He slapped him. It's a push.
It's a slap.
It's a push.
It's a slap.
It's a push. It's not like a slap would leave a mark. Like, there was no mark left there. These two guys had an argument on the pitch. Let them argue. I mean, David Moyes
I get arguing, but you can't strike one of your teammates.
It's stupid either way.
It is stupid,
But I think a red card for it is... excessive when it's your own player.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let them argue. Let them have a little push and a tussle. Like, if someone punches him, like, all right, I get that.
Like the Newcastle guys.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. If they full-on start fighting each other, you'd be like, all right, well, you both got to go.
I think the way they think about it, right, is it doesn't matter if it's an opponent or if it's your own player, it's still violent conduct. And that's where I kind of agree with the red card. You can't be slapping people. This isn't Nathan Brown and Trent Barrett in the NRL.
Was the one when is it Kanate? We scored a goal. Kanate's running into the corner, smacking him in the back of the head, like like that.
That's friendly though. This is not friendly.
Okay, well, they're fucking friends at the end of the day.
Yeah, you don't know that. Are you part of the Everton crew? Are you?
Yeah.
Michael Keane and Guy.
Hang on, let me just text them.
But look, red card in the 13th minute, and I'm sure. I've seen what's the man? You guys' name? Goldbridge.
Yeah.
Bro, he literally said, I wish this red card didn't happen because now it would be an easy 3 points and I wanted a game.
Yeah.
End of the game. Yeah, different story. But look, Drewsby Hall gets his goal in the 29th minute. And look, nice goal. Drewsby Hall, I thought, had talent when he was at Chelsea. Obviously, was never going to make it into our team, though. I think great piece of business. And that is the quality that he has.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
I think he's a player of consistency. Correct, I don't think he's always as consistent. He has these games and these moments when he needs to pull it out, and that's why you start him.
Yep.
But he's not like a consistent player where every week you know what you're going to get.
You're not going to get a goal or an assist every game.
No,
you know what
no,
I mean? But he can pull off shit like that. And then after that goal, that was it. Literally, that was it. So Everton created zero chances after that goal.
They didn't need to.
They shut up shop. And because it's David Moyes and it's his Everton team, he knows how to play. And he's just gone, shut up shop. Don't allow them to do anything, which they pretty much fucking didn't.
Yeah.
And they went on and won the game.
It was all half chances. And they were terrible. Like, they turned a 50-50 chance into like a fucking 70-30, 70 for the defense.
Yeah.
Because they just played into their trap. They're just like, all right, we're going to let you go out wide. All right, we'll go out wide.
They had a couple chances. Bruno had a couple good chances. There was a cut back and he tried to hit it with the outside.
Xerxes had a couple good headers.
But you could just see that Everton had just shut up shop and that they were not going anywhere. But so pretty much my bet was Drewsby Hall score assist into an Embo double for Man U to win. I thought after Drewsby Hall scored,
this shit's on, boys.
All I need is Embo to get one and then it's on. And bro,
as soon as I put Mbembo into my fucking team,
so it's your fault he sucks.
Dude, he fucking sucks, man. I'm like, what do you want me to do?
Well, can I just give you a couple points?
Please.
This is the second Everton win at Old Trafford ever.
Yeah, right.
And it was with 10 men.
Yeah.
Right?
And everyone thought they'll turn the ship around. Man,
they went undefeated for four games. Yeah. And they're like, that's it. Ship's turned around. We're good to go now.
You know what's the best when this happens? You don't hear shit from Man United fans. All I've been hearing is fucking a cash. Hey, here's a meme. And then now this week, all of a sudden, it's awfully fucking quiet.
Yeah, it's cricket noises over
there.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. So shut up.
One more. This is David Moyes' first win at Old Trafford as an opposing manager.
Yeah, right. Wait, he won when he was at Man U?
He did, actually, surprisingly,
They sacked him so fast.
Never won as an opposition manager until this.
All right, fair enough.
David Moyes has really got his handprint into this Everton team.
I like it how he went back to where he was most successful, and he's like, well, I'm successful again.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to jump from Man U to Valencia to West Ham to every other
Valencia
fucking team.
Valencia move was so stupid.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
He's like,
which manager's ever gone to
jump
Spain
around.
And good.
Oh, wait, where did I actually have my best football? Oh, Everton. Sweet, I'm going back there.
Yeah, I'm going back there just before I retire. Why don't we just jump into our fantasy review for this week?
Let's do it.
Stammer, the motherfucking most confident man on earth, remains first. He's got his 42-point lead on second on Cameron, and it doesn't look like he's going to go away. I've warned him a couple of times. A few people nipping at his ankles. You're there. Akash is slowly coming up. Cameron's had some good results.
He's had some good weeks, actually.
He could be caught, but look. Anyone that's listening out there, Stammer's too confident. And if you get the chance to beat him, send a million requests through to us on Instagram and I will read them directly to his face and film it.
Bit of a PSA, public service announcement.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Yeah, eight rounds left.
Eight rounds, yeah. And for your two or whatever chips you have left to be used until they then obviously replenish.
Yep.
So Yeah, use them up wisely. I don't think there's much to do this week, to be fair.
Yep.
The games this week are pretty hard.
Mm.
We've obviously got you and Stammer had equal top points, 61.
I should have had it, but Semenyo didn't play. And then whoever the Sunderland defender was didn't play. So then fucking Milinkovic comes in, who got 8 points with the clean sheet against you guys. And I was looking at the table and I was like, oh, I might actually creep up a little bit on Stammer. Nah, fucking he's got his bench all worked out too.
Hey, look, the Stammer luck is hard to beat. Now, this is something I've been asking Sydney University to study for some years. And they just don't do it because the bloke's the luckiest man in the world. He's the guy who drives into a Westfield car park and goes, damn, there's no spots. Oh, that guy's pulling out.
Then
he just goes in there and then gets out. He's like, that was easy. Ooh. You guys have problems parking here? I don't think I've ever had this problem.
It's quite annoying, actually.
You know, he drives in and then the valet guy comes out and goes, hey, man, look, I'll just park it for free. And he goes, oh, thanks, man.
Oh, fucking hell.
But if we're starting to look ahead now.
Yes.
We're coming into, obviously, back-to-back fixtures now.
Yes.
Right? Going into December, a lot of fixtures going. And I've probably jotted down a few different teams that you should and should not have players from.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Forest is a good one to pick players that are good for your bench, especially.
Yeah.
And the likes of Murillo, Milinkovic.
I think Gibbs White will now
get... Gibbs White, if you want an attacking option.
They're going back into their...
Hudson-Odoi,
yeah. They're going back to their form from last year.
Yep.
Solid at the back, counter-attack, which is great for Gibbs-White.
We haven't said it for this episode, but Mr. DJ, he's got them playing to their strengths.
Yeah. Right?
It's no bullshit, this is my style of football.
Yeah.
He goes, if you play like this, we will win some games.
Yeah, and we'll stay up in the Premier League.
Yep.
And you guys will keep getting paid.
And that's exactly
so
right.
I'll just give you a quick run through their run. So it's Brighton... Wolves away, Everton away. Everton away, tough one. Tottenham at home, who aren't playing great at the moment. Fulham away, 50-50 game. But again, Fulham play to their level. Mm-hmm. So then you got City at home, obviously tough. Then they got Everton, Villa, West Ham.
That's not a bad run.
As long as
you can flick them from between your bench to your starting 11,
yep.
You'll be fine.
Yep.
And I put it out there. I've put Murillo into my team already.
Yep.
You know, whether or not that backfires, we'll fucking find out, won't we?
They got Brighton this week at home, so that should be a good game.
The PSA announcement for this one is get all the fucking Spurs players out of your team. I was wrong. I will admit it. I was so fucking wrong. I watched them beat City and went, man, these guys are playing great.
Mm.
And then I looked at their run and went, dude, Tottenham's in for this.
Yeah.
I put in 3 Tottenham players in my team. That was a fucking terrible decision. It was terrible.
Yeah. You went all in on Tottenham.
Oh, dude, because it made sense.
Mm.
On paper, I went, well, Tottenham's going to have a run here. I went no new players. I went players that are existing, the players that have done shit in the Premier League before.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I was fucking wrong. You were wrong, James. Bad, James.
Naughty. But look, like you're talking about their run, so they had an easy run,
yeah,
which they fucked up on. This is their run now. Fulham at home, which I think they're still...
They should win that game.
I think you got 1 week with them because, listen to this, Newcastle away.
No.
Brentford at home. Brentford's tough.
Yeah, right? Thiago's scoring.
Forest away, not with DJ there. Liverpool at home. You guys, if you guys can pick up.
Yeah.
Palace away, Brentford away. That is shit.
Yeah, that's a terrible run for them. I see them losing quite a lot of those games.
Yes. And like we were talking about with the Arsenal game with the injuries, no one's really coming back anytime soon. And now this is the tough period. I see it only getting worse for them.
Yep. Another one where I think you could, coming into an easier runs, Man U.
Yeah.
I think their form doesn't justify bringing players in. And it's really going to be tough who you bring in. I think, obviously, Fernandez is always a choice, but again, his form isn't great.
And he's worth about 9 mil, I think, which is pretty expensive.
So
yeah,
it's a tough one. Mbembo is definitely one that's worth bringing in. He's probably the only one that's been scoring consistently.
He is the only one scoring consistently.
For them, look, their back line, I mean, do you want to take a punt, put their goalkeeper in?
If you want to see them get clean sheets, maybe, yeah, because I don't see any of their left or right backs assisting.
No, who they got, Dorgu or Evan?
Or Ahmad, who isn't even a defender. He's a fucking midfielder.
Yeah, and again...
Oh, no, Mazraoui.
Mazraoui, yeah. Okay. But look, Ahmad would be one that you'd want to put in. But again, he's so inconsistent this year.
Well, I don't think it's Ahmad being inconsistent. It's that Amorim puts him in different positions every week. One week he'll play right back, like a right wing back. The next week he'll play as an attacking midfielder. The next week he'll play in the centre mids. And you're just going, bro, where's this kid play? This kid should be an attacker. If they had Ahmad, Mbeumo and Cunha as your top three, bro, that'd cook. But the problem is that he likes to play with wing backs that bomb, and Mazraoui doesn't bomb, whereas Dorgu does. That's why Dorgu's playing all the time. Mazraoui doesn't bomb, so that's why he puts Ahmad there, so because he can run.
Yeah, because he likes fantasy, to go forward.
Yeah, but for fantasy
ain't
no
gonna
good.
Get you points.
It's no good. So yeah, I agree. Look, the only two for me, Fernandez and Mbeumo.
And then I think the only other two teams that are worth looking at players for is Man City, and obviously the main one there is Haaland.
And I think
maybe Phil Foden.
In attack,
he's back.
If he look, I'm offering Diaz now. I went off him a while ago. That's why I took him out.
Yeah,
I've
listed some of the players that I would potentially bring in versus potentially taking out. Rendiz has finally made the list again. That was another player I was touting about. I thought I'd made like the greatest pick ever in the first few rounds.
It was 5 mil, and you're like, this is great. Like, this is perfect, isn't it? He's a cam. You're getting midfielder points. This will definitely work out. Mm-hmm. It didn't. But look, just on Man City, and you are right, they have a fucking delicious run coming up. Leeds, Fulham, Sunderland at home, Palace away, tough. Then they've got West Ham, Forest away, Sunderland away, Chelsea at home, right? So a little bit on the tougher end at the back end. But the next 5 weeks, they've got four very winnable games.
Yeah, 100%. And even though they're not playing their best and Haaland's carrying him through, I mean, look, everyone knows who the captain is for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't do what I did. Five months, bro.
What do you mean?
And don't do what I did and try to be sneaky and fucking goddamn Mateta.
Remember I did that? I tried to be sneaky to put Mbeumo as my captain and Haaland up scoring a double. So the lesson is don't change Haaland as captain. Just keep him until they play Palace away. Or if they play Arsenal, you know what I mean? Then you can kind of... Even then I captained him when they played Arsenal. So just keep Haaland as captain.
And then I think, then obviously your other choice with Liverpool.
Bro, you guys have a nice run, but...
I have this difficulty. Who do you pick?
Bro, that's the thing. Like, out of all those players...
Wirtz is injured now.
Do you know for how long?
Well, they're saying a few weeks.
Okay.
So I imagine he'll probably miss this busy period.
He'll probably be back halfway through December, probably hope.
And then you kind of, like, if you're going to pick any players, all right, Van Dijk's always solid to put in there. Occasionally gets goals. He gets a lot of defensive contributions.
Well, yeah, he got 12 defensive contributions in the last game, right? But again, are you willing to risk him considering that you guys aren't keeping clean sheets?
We don't keep clean sheets.
Yeah.
We lead goals.
Yeah.
The other one you can put is Dominic Szoboszlai. He takes free kicks.
I think he is the best option. You're right. He from a dead ball. Now that Ritz is out, even when Ritz is there, he was on the dead ball, right?
The problem, yes, correct.
Yeah.
But the problem you have with Dominic is what if they push him to right back?
Oh, bro. Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? So they push him at right back. Again, he score from right back against Arsenal.
And he does move, like he bombs up.
He does go inside, but again, it restricts the ability of him scoring, right?
Well, he's spending more time
the other
on the back end.
Is Gravenberch. You can put Gravenberch. He's been probably our best points getter all season.
I wonder who would be the best points getter for you guys.
Then the...
Have a look. Otherwise, besides Salah. I think Salah would be number one, right?
I don't know.
Total points. I'll tell you who is. Total points. Number one is Salah.
Okay.
56. Then it is Gravenberch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Salah's too expensive.
Then it's Gakpo and Szoboszlai. Bro, Salah is like 14. It's like 14 and a half mil.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
That is way too expensive for a guy that one is going to be leaving in a month and two is not getting the same chance as last year.
No one's got that many. If you have that much money sitting in your account to be able to bring him into your team, then I have a lot of questions about what you've been doing. And if you're beating me, I have a lot of questions about what I've been doing.
But I will give, like, your run, like I said, does look really good. So you got West Ham away, Sunderland at home, who aren't playing. They're a tough team, but still, you're at home. Leeds away, Brighton at home, Tottenham away, Wolves at home, Leeds at home, Fulham away. That is a fantastic run.
Go back to last year, and I say I win all but one of those
games.
7 out of 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
I go, we win all but one of those games, and that's the Tottenham game where maybe we potentially draw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if we break it down into a few players, I think players to bring in to your team, right? If you, depending on the position you need, I think Thiago for Brentford is a solid option.
Well, I traded out Bowen for him last week, and it did. He did miss a penalty, but the guy is in form.
Yeah. Then you've got Timber for Arsenal.
No, Gabriel. I always thought Timber was a better point getter because he bombs up.
He gets an occasional goal and he gets an assist.
He got an assist in the Tottenham game. Yeah.
Then you've got Eze for Arsenal as well, depending if you need that midfield.
Yep.
You can bring him in. Minte from Brighton. I think he's getting involved a lot more with all their games.
Well, they have to because they weren't really doing too much at the start of the season.
I think they've been a bit lackluster as a team.
As a team, yeah.
And there's a lot of individual talent in there, like Welbeck's doing very well. Minte's doing very well. Mm. But there's other players in there that have just dropped off completely.
Like, what was the Japanese guy's name? Whatever his name was.
Why are we having a goddamn mental blank about this goddamn Japanese guy?
That's right, you keep going. I'll find it.
The other ones, Morgan Rogers for Villa.
Well, like we said before, everything's going through or around Morgan Rogers.
So if you,
And Villa are playing better. I think getting Watkins out as being the number one target has totally changed them.
Yeah, 100%. And then I think the last one that I'd probably tip to put in there, and it's an interesting one because I don't think there's many Chelsea players that I think would be an automatic starting 11, Neto.
Neto, I think, is automatic. He's always Mitoma is his name.
Yeah.
Neto he's in every lineup. He started today as a striker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what and he seems to play across all the Champions League, he'll play the Premier League, and he'll play some cup matches.
When we get deeper into the competitions, if we make it, he will start those games. The guy is just a fucking energizer bunny.
Yeah, and dude, the thing is, he's happy to assist or score, and he's pretty much involved at the end of most plays.
You're right. He's always involved. He's always around the ball. If he's not scoring, he's assisting. He whips and crosses. He makes runs. He does cutbacks, and he scores as well. So he is. If you think Chelsea do have a nice run, like with us, we don't have blocks of big games. We'll have like four good games and then a tough game and then like three good games and then like another tough game. So I think Chelsea, put in a Chelsea player, and if you need a cheap winger, I think Neto is the way to go.
For sure. And then I think on the flip side, we've got a few players that like I'd be going dump them if they're in your team. Pedro for Chelsea.
Yeah,
I think his time is, he's just not firing where he needs to.
The problem is that he's now playing as a cam. He's not playing as a striker.
Well, he was playing like that nine role before, right?
Yeah.
Because he had that, like, Delap in front of him. Yeah. I thought when Delap came back, it would go back to that, but it's not.
Because
he didn't play that in this week's game, where I thought he'd get a goal.
Yeah.
So that's, like, for me, I'd be getting him out of your team because it sounds like I think he'll slowly shift his way over to the bench.
Well, I think it would actually be once Cole Palmer comes back, I think Delap goes to the bench and Pedro goes up front.
But I don't like him as an out-and-out striker either. No? I don't think he's...
In the Club World Cup, nine, he balled
when,
out.
When he was in that nine position and he can sit deeper, I think he plays better.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Which is where he was at the start of the season. He was banging goals.
Well, we're trying to get him into that Club World Cup form. He was killing in the Club World Cup. And I thought 100%. He was playing as out and out. I thought it was an out-and-out striker, but I guess they all interchange. But, yeah, I think once Palmer comes back, he might do better. But, yeah, he's just... I think he had one goal 2 weeks ago. In like five or six or something.
Yeah, I remember I was watching it. And I'm like, I'm going to take Joe Pedro out if he doesn't score this week. Then he scores. I'm like, God damn it. Now I'm going to keep him in. And then I keep him in. Doesn't score for 2 weeks, but you're out. You're fucking out.
That's it. You've lost all hope.
And then Kudus for Tottenham. Obviously, that's more around, like, Kudus was very good for Tottenham, got himself injured.
Yep.
And just now, I think he's supposed to come back this week.
Yeah, he is meant to come back this week. I still have him in my team. Only because they're playing Fulham at home.
Yeah, for me, they're going in such a bad run. I'm just saying, I'm fucking...
Yeah, Kudus is
if you can get him out, get him out.
Yeah.
Then another one...
Well, that could pretty much go with any Tottenham player, right?
Yes, I agree. That's what's going on with all of my Tottenham players, man. Every one of them, I fucking hate them, man. I see it on there, and I'm just like, should I sacrifice 4 points?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, because I sacrificed 8 the other week, and that did not work out for me at all.
That failed hard.
Fucking fell miserably. I'm like, I'll use my damn bench boost. I got 14 points off the bench. I was burning anyway. God, I was burning. Grealish, this might be an unpopular one. I think Grealish has had his time.
I I would if you can't afford to get anyone in, I would keep him in.
I kind
of feel sorry for him because like this week they played with 10 men for 75 minutes.
Yeah, he's not going to do shit.
He couldn't do shit, right? But look, I think Grealish, he's like the initial
hype
of having him there is now died down.
Uh-huh.
But look, I'll just quickly go through Everton's run. Newcastle at home, Bournemouth away, Forest at home, Chelsea away, Arsenal at home. That's not good, bro.
Yeah. it's not looking good, bro.
That's four tough games out of five. Five. Like, Bournemouth away is not easy. So, yeah, look, maybe Everton players might be time to get out.
And then my final player out, and we already touched on it, Rendiz from Man City.
Yeah, look.
He's not producing.
Well,
at the start, he is cheap.
He is cheap, right? And that's why we thought it was going to be a great buy, right?
He fills up space. You have to play him in your starting 11. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't just sit him on your bench.
Yeah, because you're waiting for City to do something with him. And he did have a couple of good chances. My time to take him out was there was one game he didn't even start. He's not even starting now. He started in the Champions League today, and that was after they made 10 changes to their team. He doesn't even start anymore. So,
yeah.
Rendiz, I think, look, great price, but you can find someone that's the same price that plays 90 minutes.
But it's also, you know where I utilize Rendiz is Man City are versing a shit team. You have multiple transfers. You want to use your bench boost?
Yeah.
Right? Or you want to use your bench boost in a game? Bring him in to sit on your bench and then have more, and then just as long as it's an easy game, because he'll probably pick up an assist or maybe a goal. He does go forward and does get those, but
that's even if he starts, you know what I mean?
Agreed.
He's not even starting. So look, I think Rendiz is time to go. And I think you mentioned Cherky. He's starting now.
Potentially bring him in.
He could be a good one. If you want someone outside of Haaland.
More expensive, like, but
yeah, but like
more output.
Like we're talking about Haaland, he's the only one doing anything consistently for City.
Yeah.
Well, for the whole league, pretty much. I think he's number one in the league.
Yeah.
So clearly he's the guy to go to for City. But if you want a second City player, personally, I've got Donnarumma. I think they got a couple of easy games. I think some clean sheets would be good.
Yeah.
Right?
Please?
So look, I've gone with Donnarumma. You can also get Diaz. He scored over the weekend. So there's a few options if you want that second City player. But Rendiz just isn't that guy now.
Yeah, 100%. All right, well, why don't we just leave it there, and until next week, peace out.
Yeah, peace out.